Praise and thanks be to our God that we may again this evening come to the river of life that flows still today. Its water is clear, it is pure, so we have sung it. Yes, it is still bubbling today. We are all invited. I believe God will bless us abundantly also tonight. I would like to read a word of God before we pray. It may be a little strange, but it is the prayer of Solomon, a dedication prayer. It became so great to me. I read it in 2 Chronicles 6 from verse 12. Here it says, "And he stood before the altar of the Lord, in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And prayed, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness.
Denn Unschuldigen aber dadurch zu seinem Recht verhilfst, dass du ihm zuteil werden lässt nach seiner Gerechtigkeit. Und wenn dein Volk
And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel. When thou hast taught them the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be dearth in the land, and if there be pestilence, if there be blight, or mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men.
Denn du allein kennst das Herz der Menschenkinder,
that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as does thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee towards this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, For there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, We have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee.
Und wollest deinem Volke vergelten, was sie gegen dich gesündigt haben. Nun denn, mein Gott,
now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Up to here, this wonderful prayer of this man of God. I don't know, but he thought of everything. He thought of everything and brought everything before the face of God. He especially thought of the things that God promised to David, his father. And I think it was a great joy for him and for all the people. For the day had come when what God had said to his father David was fulfilled. He says, now we may see it with our own eyes before us. Is this not something wonderful and glorious? Dear brothers and sisters, the promises of God remain. And that is something wonderful. They remain. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains disappear, but he who believes will find out God's word remains eternally true. And the promises of God remain. Yes, he claimed them, and all the people, all of them. I don't think he fell down, maybe like a pope falls down today, but he fell down with a bowed heart. It always depends on the attitude of the heart. One may want to pretend and kiss the earth, or this and that, or kiss an altar. It's all a made-up thing. You know, when you hear and see that, then you are disgusted. But here was a man of God who saw the hand of Almighty God, who saw the fulfillment of what the mouth of God had spoken. What God has promised, that is what he saw. It was fulfilled in his days. And we are so grateful, dear brothers and sisters, that we too may share in this glory. And I would like to say that God has not abandoned us, but has spoken to us. And he is not far from us, but near to us. And I think that when we pray, it is not some pious chatter or something bubbled, but we pray from the depth of our hearts because we know whom we worship. But how will an unbelieving person who thinks he is something, how can he say a prayer? It's just a written down thing, and it's rattled down in who knows what tone. I don't want to say much about it. But you know, we arrived in a time where really evil has taken over. And this must be. Also, this is fulfillment, dear brothers and sisters. This too we find in the scriptures, what is happening in our days, what is happening now. We find it in the Word of God. Everything must be fulfilled. But on the other hand, are the people of God, the true elect, the saints, the beloved, to whom God has spoken, yes, as to a David, and as to all the true prophets of God. We are so glad and so grateful to be here. We can indeed say, the Lord has said, where two or three are gathered in His name, there I am in the midst of them. Well, the words are easy to say, and they take it in their mouths. We are more than two or three here. Whatever. But we have come here to bring honor and worship to the Lord our God, our Savior, to give Him thanks and praise for the grace that has been given to us. We can indeed say what we have received. We can indeed say that God has met us. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, He has met us. And you know, He wants to meet us tonight too. He wants to be with us all the days of our lives. And we just want to say, as Solomon prayed here, he reminded the Lord of everything. And then he prayed for the future, what is yet to come and what may come. He prayed in advance when something was coming that God would be merciful and have mercy on His people. Yes, as if this man already knew everything. He said, no man is without sin. He knew no man is without sin. No man is without fault. And he knew that he was also human. And so let us come to God, even now in this hour, and let us thank Him for His grace. Let us stand up for it. We thank You with all our heart, also for this hour of grace, that we may again stand here and remember You, O God, for all that You have spoken. Lord, we want to praise You and exalt Your holy name. You, the great God, the living God, the true God, You, the faithful God, we give glory to You alone, not to any man. No, to You alone be the glory and the worship forever and ever. Hallelujah. For You are the Lord in heaven and on earth. You are the Lord who made the promises to Your servant David and his descendants. You have not forgotten us, Lord, until our day, O Lord. We give You the glory. Hallelujah. We praise Your grace. Hallelujah. We praise Your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Continue to be with us. Bless my brethren. Bless Brother Frank, Lord, as he brings Your word. Bless us all. Help Your people everywhere, in all places. Is my sincere prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Surely, it fills our hearts with joy, with trust in our God, who has answered. And the thought came to me, as Brother Rus finished reading the sixth chapter, as it is usual with me, I have to read a little further. And here it says so wonderfully, when Solomon had finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. If only he prayed, then it would have remained open whether God would have responded to all the thoughts and requests. But God did respond to it all, because He did answer. If God had not answered, we would be sitting here today asking ourselves the question, yes, Solomon pleaded his case here, but did God hear? Did He accept it with favor? God's answer lets you and me know tonight that God has listened with pleasure to it all, that He has heard and that He has answered. That is the most beautiful thing in every prayer when God answers. Not the content, not how long or how short. I always say we should pray short here, and Solomon prayed long. But when God answers, then everything is right for us. But we see here in what a way this man of God poured out his heart. He hardly thought of himself. He thought, as our brother already mentioned in the prayer, of the stranger, of the people, of the need, of all that might come. And as far as we know, I don't think he left anything out. And if he had left something out, God would still have thought of it. But God inspired the prayer. So it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that gives us confidence and new courage to go before the Lord in the certainty that He will hear us. Solomon had offered a sacrifice, a burnt offering. We know that our Lord sacrificed Himself as the Lamb of God. And how could He not also give us everything with Him? Then the next verse says, so that the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. In this answer, we see there is again a tremendous content. They knew what they owed God in their answer. And they summed it up by this, that they praised the Lord, that He was good, and that His mercy endureth forever. These two things were left to them of the whole prayer, the conclusion or the sum of all the thoughts, and what they expressed was that God is kind and that His mercy endureth forever. Now, I have to smile a little bit, whether I like it or not, because just a few pages before, I red-flagged some things tonight before I came here, as you can see here. Namely, Brother Rus read the end, and I marked the beginning. And I take this from the hand of the Lord, as it has been given to us. Now, just briefly, one thought. In this prayer of Solomon, he used the word chosen a few times. The city you have chosen, or the place you have chosen, or the people you have chosen. Here, in 1 Chronicles 28, 1 Chronicles 28, something became very great to me tonight, before the service. 1 Chronicles 28, from verse 2. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building,
und hatte schon Vorbereitungen für den Bau getroffen. Aber da sprach
But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel.
So dass mich zum König über ganz Israel gemacht hat. Von meinen
And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father.
Und ich will ihm Vater sein. Bleiben wir doch hier stehen.
Let us stop here.
Wir sehen, was
we see what God has done. He has chosen all Israel. In all Israel, one tribe, the tribe of Judah. He has chosen the house of David the father. And in the house, he chose one who should be the one. This man who was chosen says, I had many sons whom God gave me, and among them he chose one again. This evening it is about election and nothing else. It's about election. We have to realize that with God all things take place and are made according to his election. And no human being can change, add, or say the slightest thing, or say, Lord, what are you doing? And here in this word is the same phrase used as in the promise to Christ that is written in Hebrews 1, verse 5, but first in 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. We have it here right away, 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. You all know these scriptures, and especially this promise that the Lord gave here in 2 Samuel. Did I say that right? 2 Samuel 7:14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. That's the phrase we have been reading here, the first part, 100%. It says here, I will be his father. The same is written in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Hebrews 1, verse 5. We know the spiritual things are already hidden here. It says here, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." When we come back to this word in 1 Chronicles 28, it even says that he shall sit on the king's throne of the Lord over Israel, not on his throne and not on the throne of Israel, but on the king's throne of the Lord. Let me read it again. "And of all my sons," verse 5, "and of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." Not only on the throne of David, but on the king's throne of the Lord. And we could go now to Ezekiel and read that David will even be king, and that he will reign, and that the promise that has been given will later be spiritually fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Here it was about the king's throne of the Lord, which he then established among his earthly people Israel. He had people, as the Holy Scripture says here, he took out the whole people, the 12 tribes. You could say he chose them, and then he still made a selection, and he took the tribe of Judah. And we probably mentioned it here last Wednesday. By the way, that was quite a glorious word that our brother Schmidt read, probably Judges 6, with that barley bread. Before I forget, all of us, if we had a dream that a loaf of bread fell into a camp somewhere, we would say, "Oh, this means the Lord is going to feed us now, for a loaf was shown." Right? That's what we would say as human beings. We always have the interpretations ready anyway. We hardly miss the thoughts. But a loaf falls into the camp, and it was not to feed the people. It was to turn the tent upside down, to put a great fear into the enemies. And the man who saw all this, or had the dream, he was struck with fear, and he says to the other, "Listen, this means bad luck for us, and that man there, he will overpower us all." You can read about it. So we must indeed always be very, very careful and realize that God does and reveals all things with his own wisdom. There is no human being who can make up a rule of thumb and say, "I have seen this, this has been revealed to me, this is how it is." It is not what you and I think. It is always what God means and what he says. Just be honest. If one of us were to come and says, "I saw a loaf of bread, it fell into the camp like this," oh my goodness, then because of hunger, we could be stuck here somewhere. No, it doesn't always have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. It's the way God wants it to be. And it doesn't have to be the same a second time. It can have a completely different meaning another time. Now, back to this word here, from 1 Chronicles 28. Here it says, In verse 1, I read verse 2, the first was quite extended, and it says, "Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God." Where is the Lord enthroned, and where does he dwell? He says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." Here, at his footstool, he wanted to have a resting place on earth, a place that is not everywhere, although God has created everything. But he wanted a special place, and this special place was to be built and established among the special people, among the people of God. A place of God was to be established, there where the Lord can step, there where he can stand, there where his feet can be at home, there where he can feel comfortable, a place for our God. And in what context is it written? There where the ark of the Lord is, with the law of the Lord, there he will come, and there he will step, there he will reveal himself. And this is what he showed at the dedication of the temple when he prayed there. Here we see that at his footstool a place of shelter was to be made for God in the midst of his people. It is written in Deuteronomy 4:5 probably, that God chose a people from among all the nations of the earth and gave them statutes and ordinances. But that was not enough for him. He wanted to set up his sanctuary among this people, his dwelling place. He wanted to reveal himself there. For what good is it for him to have a people if he cannot reveal himself in their midst? Then it is of no use at all. The people of Israel would have been just another people if God had not supernaturally revealed himself in their midst. It would have been just a people, a tribe or tribes like all the others. God's people were distinguished by the fact that the Lord revealed himself in their midst. There is the Ark of the Covenant. There the law was laid down, and God regarded the whole as his footstool. There he could come to a rest. When I think of the word footstool, I don't know how many remember that, but I remember it well. With us it was common that when the father came home from the country work, tired from all the toil, then we as children knew that his feet had to be washed, that a footstool had to be put somewhere. We knew that that was part of the evening, that the footstool is put there. We had to rest. After the work was done, we had to rest. God is looking for a place to rest. He looks for a place where he can put his feet, a place where he is at home, a place where something could be prepared for him, a place where he also felt at home, among his people, among his children, among his sons and daughters. he felt at home. The word shelter, a shelter, a place to stay, a home, a place where he could be and dwell. And now it says here, but then God said to me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father. And we know the story. He was the last. And we have a saying in the vernacular, what happens to the last? But not with God. With the people, our proverb may be true, but not with God. The last can be first with God, and the first can be last. God does all things as he wills. And we know the sons all came, and the prophet of God already had the barrel of oil in his hand, and he was ready to anoint the first and the second and all the ones that were still coming. But always his hand was still held. He couldn't. And I could imagine when they had all passed through that he might have been a little disappointed, maybe humanly thinking, and thinking to himself, what now? Now the sons have all passed by. What now? Was I not paying attention? Did God not tell me? Could God not reveal it to me? What is to become now? And he turns to Jesse. And he says, listen, don't you have another son? Yes, I have one, but he's not here. Send for him. He knew it couldn't be anyone else now. No need to wait at all now. That's him. And when he came in, the Lord said, this is he whom I have chosen. And here David expresses that and says, out of all my father's house, God has chosen me. All were in the same house, but the choice fell on one. And he says that I shall be king over Israel. And then it goes on here, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. Do you see how it goes on here? From one into the other. All the people of Israel, in this people or in these tribes, one tribe. In this one tribe, so many families, one family. And then one from the family. Election. That we cannot explain. That we cannot understand. We don't even need to start with it. And that is not meant to be an allusion to anything either. I want to abstain from these things completely. But the human choice would have been very different. Very different for both of them and many others. But God is not a man. He does not see what is before the eyes. God sees the heart. And he saw, even in Solomon, almost incomprehensibly, but he saw in him a heart that yielded to him. A heart that was attached to God. A heart that was willing to do what God required of him. Here, David, through the Spirit, made election more clear than in any other chapter of all those he has spoken or written about. Here election has been most clearly set before our eyes. Not according to merit, not according to worthiness, but according to the mercy of God, according to the predestination of God, according to his choice of grace, which he made. And it says here so wonderfully, and among the sons of my Father, it is I in whom he was well pleased. The word well pleased. Take this word to Matthew 3. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It was not just a son. David was not just a son. He was a son in whom God was well pleased. Solomon was not just a son. He was a son in whom God was well pleased. We have heard very clearly from Brother Branham that it is one thing to be sons of God, and another thing to be adopted as sons, the adoption of sons. After God's well-pleasing rests on us, not just saying, I'm a son of God, and then we go our own ways, but sons and daughters of God, in whom God is well-pleased, whom he can adopt as sons, whom he can anoint with the Holy Spirit and with power. Here, the word chosen has been mentioned a few times, and then the word well-pleased is added. Pleased with a man who was like you and me, pleased with a heart attitude that he had. And we would even ask, what moved God even to bring Abraham from Ur in Chaldea, from the region of the river Euphrates? What moved him to do that? God made the choice and took one man, and from him came the tribes of people. God's choice. I have chosen you. I called you by your name. You are mine. Let us go to our country, to our city, to our families. God chooses. God draws out. And I believe with all my heart that he knows exactly who will belong and who will not belong to it. It is not up to you and it's not up to me. We wish, as it is written, that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In the same way we know that not all will be saved and not all will come to the knowledge of the truth. But in this we see again election. God has not ordained us to go along in unbelief and wonder, did he or did he not? But that we know God has. God has chosen us. He has pardoned us. And we are to be something to the praise of his holy name. Here we have a word for all to ponder. And we do well if we do it in reverence before God. Here it is written in verse 6, and he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son. For I have chosen him to be my son. God chooses. your and my sons, our sons, his sons. It is God. We can't. And I'm convinced David did not act on his own authority. He acted in the will of God because God confirmed it. It wasn't David thinking for himself and saying, well, I'm going to make my decision now. It was God's decision, which he had pronounced under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But God then visibly confirmed that decision again and said to him, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Now God took responsibility. He wanted to say, David, you have done all you could do as an earthly father. Now I have chosen your son to be my son. I want to be a father to him. He shall be my son, and he shall sit on my throne, on the king's throne of the Lord he shall sit. We can go further. We can go to Revelation chapter 3, to the last verse, where our Lord said, he that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and have sat on my Father's throne. Here is a great mystery. Here is prophecy in this word. We read in the New Testament, all Scripture is inspired by God. But sometimes we read over it and we don't find the inspiration. We read over the inspiration, but the Spirit of God wants to inspire us so that we can find that inspiration, that it is revealed to us, that we also have part in it. God has chosen sons and daughters, and finally, they will be with him on his throne. As he, our Lord, overcame and sat down on the throne of the Father, so all the overcomers will rule and reign with him in the millennium. That's what Revelation 5 is all about. Thou art worthy, because you let yourself be slain, and you purchased us out of all peoples, tongues, and nations for God. And then comes this wonderful verse, and they will reign as kings forever. There it is straight away implied and said what they have been destined to do. Let me read it so you know. I just wrote it down for the next circular letter about an hour ago. It says here in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. With him, with our Lord, on his throne, here Solomon, who was a type on Christ, and then further on the church. Now let's be honest with ourselves. God has revealed himself on earth in Christ, but since Pentecost, he has revealed himself in the church. He has made a place for himself on earth. And if he cannot reveal himself in the church, then I ask you, tell me where he will or should reveal himself. God has no other way than to reveal himself in his church, which is his body. There he wants to rest, for it is written, he shall dwell with them, and will be their God, and they shall be his people. It shall be, and thus he will perform it, and do it according to his will. Here it says, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. And now it comes. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the church of the Lord. Do you see what it's about? It's about the church of the Lord. In Exodus 12, right at the time of the Exodus, the people of Israel are called the church for the first time. Until then, it was the children of Israel, the people of Israel. But with the moment of the calling out, when the lamb was slain, it was the church. And here it goes in a similar way. It says here, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the church of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. God has given a condition and attached to it his promise, which was beyond what was at that time. If ye take heed to all these things, and observe, and indeed diligently do what the Lord your God has commanded, then ye shall be in possession, and even your seed shall inherit forever. Oh, that God might bless anew, that not only we, but children and children's children might have part in what God has done. Is it not so written in Acts 2, verse 38? For the promise is unto you and your children, not only to those who belong there, but to your children and your children's children, as many as the Lord your God will call. What was it? The blessing of God were to continue to flow. It was not to stop with one generation. It was to be transferred. So it was with the people of Israel, and so it was with the church. Then, through the Spirit, he gives Solomon the following to take with him on his way. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Here this man was to know the Lord his God as David had known him. So we see, when parents have experienced God, it is not enough. The sons, the children, need to know God, need to experience him in the same way. And let me tell you, I don't know what happened to all the other sons of David, but this son whom God chose and took as a son, he also knew him. He knew him. The prayer or this request has been heard. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Do not only serve him, do not only build for him, know him, that he may reveal himself to you, that you may not only hear or speak of him, that you may know him, that you may be known by him. This too is a great mystery. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. How has the Spirit of God spoken in this man? How was he able to present things in such a way? And I had to think about it too. Such a long prayer. Who wrote it down? Who sat by him? Or did anyone sit anywhere at any time? And the Spirit of God dictated to him all these words, sentence by sentence, and said, write down. And I'm convinced not one sentence is missing and not one has been added. Our God watches over his word when it is spoken, when it is written down, and he continues to watch so that it might be fulfilled. He doesn't stop watching over it, but he watches over it when it is spoken, when it is written down, and when it is fulfilled. And then his blessing begins to flow. It says here, for the Lord searches all hearts and knows all the imaginations of the thoughts. Those are the thoughts you don't say, but God knows them all. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. What an exhortation. Then again comfort, encouragement. Everything was contained in it. May God make this word great for us. And we have already heard it in the word of introduction. You may say, the end was read at the beginning and the beginning after. With God, it is all harmonious. He knows the end before the beginning. He who gave the beginning has given grace in the meantime and has richly blessed the end. What the Lord had said and commanded was carried out, and God confessed it. God answered the prayer that was sent up to him. Oh, that you and I, that we could pray as this man prayed, then it would bother no one if the prayer became as long as Solomon's was. If it is so inspired and given by the Spirit of God, then we all pray that God will bless us through these words to make us realize that none of us had a word to say, that God has made the choice, that he has ordered things, and that no one can change anything. This man brought his prayer before the Lord his God and poured out his heart. And as was mentioned earlier by someone, whoever it was, nothing was forgotten. Everything has been remembered by the Lord through the Spirit. Everything has been said, has been written, so that everyone, no matter what the situation and time and place, can look up to the Lord. And we know, Brother Branham has said, that what applied to Solomon and for him in the natural is true of Christ in the spiritual. Here is prophecy everywhere. He, our Lord, has built his own house, and his house are we. And in this house shall be that which invites him to a dwelling place, to a home it shall become. At that time he came to his own, and his own received him not. Today he comes to you, to me. Today he comes to us. And he says, my people, I have chosen you to be my sanctuary, my home, my dwelling place, my ark of the covenant, to tread with my feet in your midst. I have not made empty words. I have spoken, and I stand by what I have said. I am fulfilling my word. We know, human beings, and may they be the best, with the best character there is on earth, with the choicest qualities that could be found. Man remains man, but God is not a man that he should lie. God is true and delivers what he promises. Here the instructions were carried out, and in the end, only one thing was left: to spread his hands before God, before the whole church of the people of Israel, to dedicate everything to the Lord, to lay it before him. He knew very well, if God does not give his blessing, then this is only a house among many houses, a people among many peoples. But if God gives his blessing, then it is a house of God. Then it is a people of God. Then it is a church of God. And that is what the Lord is about. He is not just about a church. There are so many churches. He is not concerned about a church. He is concerned about his church, his people, his sanctuary, his elect, his sons, his daughters. And if he could succeed in working in us such an attitude as in these men of God, then we would be satisfied that we cling to our Lord with all our heart and carry out his instructions. We know when we read the whole story, it was not easy. Someone else was proclaimed as king. Things were going haywire. One would sometimes think that where God speaks, everything goes so beautifully. There are no problems at all, especially there. We see it here with Solomon, and everywhere where God speaks, where he determines, where he works, there is everything else too. But one thing is certain: his own, to whom he has spoken, they will somehow be able to find their way. They will find their way, and they will be led by the Spirit of God. Until this time, it cannot be any other way. I would still like to make this remark: if you sometimes see me a little aggrieved, it is not because I do not believe. It's only because everything rests very heavily on me. Every brother, every sister, all of them are on my heart. I carry them in my heart. When you see me like this, it is not because I don't believe. I can't help but believe. I can't help but give glory to God for what he has done on thousands upon thousands all over the world. I don't know who it was. Last Wednesday night, I think someone said, what good would the most powerful message have done to us if it had stayed over there somewhere? What use or help would it have been to all peoples and nations if they had not heard it? God has made provision for everything, And I'm convinced he who has begun, he will finish. And his glory will come down. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God who appeared to Jacob, who changed him to an Israel. He is the God who brought forth the 12 tribes. He is the God who chose the tribe of Judah. It was he who chose David. It was he who set up a sanctuary here on this earth among his people whom he had chosen. To this day, no one has ever had to tell him what to do. On the contrary, he has known for a long time. And he knows the future. He knows all the ways. And he knows his whole plan, that we only have it revealed to us in faith through the Spirit of God. How he wants to go on with us. That this is not the end. We all know. We all know that. God will go with his own forward to the end. And I want to be among those who reach the goal, who persevere to the end, over heights and through depths. God has done too much on my soul to listen to men and perhaps give up. Far from it. A curse would then befall me if I did not proclaim this glorious message of the gospel, the glorious message of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the command of the day. And I have seen it, especially on my last journey. Do you think so many religious leaders would come to hear a man from Germany if they themselves had something to say? If they themselves had a message or something to bring, they would not sit to hear. But it is a fact. They have no message. They have nothing to bring. But in all humility, let us say, God has given us something. We have something to bring. It is a precious word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit in our time, not to be put under a bushel, but on the lampstand. May God show you and me that he has laid his hand upon us. He has chosen us. He has pardoned us. He wants us to serve him and trust him completely until we come from believing unto seeing. Blessed and praised be his glorious name. Amen.